Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob and Kelly with you today. Glad you're with us. We're going to be talking to Graydon Harris a little later in the show, Friday night pitcher for Southern Miss Baseball. Opening segment of the show is sponsored, as it is every day, by Movie Star Restaurant, where you can go for a great buffet 6 days a week. Great Sunday afternoon buffet as well. They've been in business for 25 years, and they've been serving fresh, delicious food each and every day. Family-owned, family-operated, really no better place to eat than Movie Star Restaurant right here in Oak Grove. All right, guys, it is draft day. That's an exciting day if you're an NFL fan like Kelly and I, and so we want to do a bring our buddy Patrick McGee, sports editor of the Times-Picayune / NOLA.com, and covers the New Orleans Saints like nobody else. All right, Patrick, Saints are number 8 on the board tonight. Let's get right to it. The New Orleans Saints will draft who?
Well, I mean, there's some people think they're going to draft, they're going to trade up tonight and potentially go at 3. I think in terms of position-wise, it's probably one of those drafts since I've been here in New Orleans where you just don't know for sure. There's been a few drafts where you go in thinking, hey, it's one of two guys, or hey, this is a guy they really like. There is no obvious guy right here, and it's not obvious which position they're going to go at. I think, you know, if they go offense, they can go receiver. If they go defense, they could go linebacker. They could go edge rusher. They could go safety. But if they want to lean into Tyler Shuck and building around him, I think receiver is probably, you know, would obviously probably be the best option there. And Carnell Tate of Ohio State. There's a very good chance they're drafting somebody from Ohio State tonight. It could be one of three different Buckeyes.
Yeah.
But another receiver they may be looking at there is Jordan Tyson of Arizona State.
Yeah, when you look at all the mock drafts, almost all of them, and I love the term mock because, Bob, you and I could put out a mock draft. Everybody's an expert now, right?
Right.
But they all think that it's going to be one of those two guys that you talked about. But you mentioned an intriguing thing, Patrick. If the Saints were to move up, what would be the idea of and the reason why? There obviously has to be somebody up there that they don't think will be around at 7 or 8,
right?
Which would be who?
Yeah, I think it was Kiper and somebody else said they really like Arvell Reese, the edge rusher out of Ohio State, and there's a good chance he would still be there at 3. And they can go up. Apparently they really like them is what the buzz is. Like him, that's what the buzz is. So I think if that's just what that, you know, discussion's like coming into today, they could potentially draft up the Cardinals at 3 or apparently open the trade. And, yeah, I think if they go up, they're trying to get Arvell Reese, the edge rusher, out of Ohio State.
And have the Saints got additional draft capital that they could give up besides just swapping a 3 and an 8 in the first round?
Yeah, and I mean, not a ton. It would probably be well down the road a little bit. You know, I'm going into next year or the next. I wouldn't think they would move any more pieces from this year's draft. To move up to that one.
Patrick, the general sense that I'm getting from doing a lot of reading about the draft, and you certainly have talked to Saints officials, generally speaking, the attitude is this is not a terrific draft talent-wise compared to some drafts, you know, in the past. What is the Saints feeling about the overall talent pool this year?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on the position you're talking about. Caleb Downs is a safety that's really well-regarded. I read somewhere where somebody considered him really the third best player in the draft. But a position like safety isn't necessarily something that's going to go, you know, in the top 8. But he could very well be there an option for the Saints at number 8. They could really get a really good quality safety. But in terms of, just in the last week, I saw where the Saints receivers coach having a brain fart. His name isn't coming to me, but he's complaining about the lack of preparation for some of the receivers in this draft. And I think he kind of pointed to, the new fabric of college football where guys are just moving from program to program and they're going from position coach to position coach. So they're just not, they're not as well developed as they would be in the past when, say, they have, you know, a good 3 or 4 years behind them working with the same staff and the same program. So maybe this is, you know, kind of an indication of what college football has become.
It is
that these guys just aren't quite the finished product that they once were.
It is interesting that you mentioned Reese because it looks like a lot of teams are in the market for edge rushers. And, you know, Bain of Miami and some of these other guys who have been so highly heralded, it looks like there could be an early run and maybe consecutive picks at that edge position, which would be the impetus for the Saints moving up, not to be left out of that fray.
Yeah, David Bailey has been really well. I think a lot of people expect him to go number two to the Jets. He's a edge rusher out of Texas Tech. He's kind of a freak. I mean, he looks tailor-made and put up really big numbers at Tech. So, yeah, they could go pretty early at edge rusher. You know, to me, offensive tackle and edge rusher, I don't think there will be a run on offensive linemen or tackles early in this draft. So maybe they see quality at defensive end, and that's where they go early in this draft.
If you were looking at it, Patrick, from 30,000 feet, where do you see the Saints the weakest? What positions do you think they need to enhance in order to get more competitive?
Well, I mean, there's plenty of gaps. You know, the secondary, they've had, you know, people, Alante Taylor moved on. You know, they obviously needed help outside of receiver. So that's kind of where, if they're going to build around Shuck, that's where they go. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they definitely need to kind of boost. They've made some pre-agent acquisitions, like at running back with Etienne, the running back from the Jaguars. So that kind of took that off the board as a high draft pick. So, yeah, so you would think receiver, safety, linebacker, edge rusher are probably the areas that they could address through this draft. And really having their quarterback already in place gives them that flexibility to kind of go in a variety of directions. So there's a lot of little spots they could address here. And Shuck really just gives them that option to really kind of go at it here early in this draft.
And they feel really good about Shuck, don't they? I mean, they feel like they found their quarterback.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Mickey Loomis was kind of measured yesterday. He was, look, we haven't arrived. We're not one player away. You know, there's still a lot they have to do to kind of build the roster to a point where they're, you know, winning 10, you know, 10, 11, 12 games a season consistently. But, yeah, I mean, the quarterback seems to be the right guy. He played so well late last season. It's hard not to be optimistic about him. It's just a matter of, does he kind of take that next step in year two and continue to stay healthy? I think he's got a very high ceiling, and even though he's an older young guy at, 27, he's got a good 6-7 years ahead of him. Yeah.
Patrick, a question aside from the draft tonight, but Saints question nonetheless. You can't be on social media without seeing Bobby Hebert's commercials on Facebook and Instagram and all this talking about Saints fans, hey, we need to be in Paris to cheer on the Saints in October. But, I mean, we've always kind of known that they were going to play the Browns, but yet there's still no official word that it's going to be Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't – I mean, it's just assumed it's going to fall into place there with the Browns there in Paris. But yeah, we're just – I don't know what the delay is on the official word. I was kind of out of the loop there on vacation out of the country for a little bit, so I haven't really kind of tuned in onto that in a while. But, yeah, there's – still waiting to hear what the official word is.
Opinion from you, Patrick. That seems so unfair to me, to fans, because every team has, 8 home games a year. So now New Orleans Saints fans, they'll only get to see their team play 7 times this year. Is that right? Because they have to go overseas and play another overseas game.
Yeah, I haven't done the math on that. But, yeah, whenever the Saints have had a tough run, they've had to move games because of storms. I know they played a game in Jacksonville to open the season not that long ago. Mm-hmm. There's been a variety of things that have just cost the Saints a home game. So, yeah, it stinks in that regard. And these games aren't, you know, built for, hey, Saints fans, come to Paris. No, you're over there to kind of build, you know, a presence there on a new continent, you know, in a large market. It's not about New Orleans fans. It's about, it's a money grab.
Yeah, that's right.
It's about.
Yep, that's right. And there just doesn't ever seem to be enough for the National Football League.
No. I mean, you know, they don't play 162 games and have, you know, they're trying to get every dollar they can out of TV or any of these games overseas.
Right.
Although the Saints are the natural pick for people in Paris. I've been there. I mean, you go to the little taverns.
Well, that's great for the people in Paris, but that's not great for the average Saints.
Oh, of course not. Yeah, sure, yeah. Sure.
No.
All right, Patrick, we appreciate you, man. Welcome back to the good old USA, and we'll check back with you here in the next week or so to see how the Saints did. That good?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right, Patrick McGee, everybody, sports editor of the Times-Picayune, and I attribute that big promotion he got to his appearances on this show. That's just, don't throw that out there.
Did he slide you a fin or two, Bob, for the help?
Now that you mention it, no.
Well, get on that.
He owes me.
Speaking of, there's never enough money.
Correct. Hey, Graydon Harris is the Friday night guy for the Golden Eagles. Is there a more important guy on the team, Kelly, than
your Friday night
stud? We'll hear from him next. Stay with us, everybody.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, need tires for your car or truck? How about some work on your car or truck? Where would you go, Kelly? Let me turn you on, Kelly.
I was going to say, with my microphone on or off?
No, now you're on.
If the microphone is on, I would go to Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 with their new location.
Why would you do that?
Well, because, first of all, Goodyear could choose any type of place to feature their products. They're only going to go with the best that are available. Mm-hmm. Companies with reputations for good work, fair work, consistent work. And that's what you're going to get at Eagle Tire. Of course, you don't have two or three locations if you're not doing something right.
Right.
And this is their newest location. And just like Movie Star in the last segment, this is another family-owned South Mississippi business.
Our client list is full of those kind of people. And that's because we think it's important to do business locally.
Yeah, if you're going to spend money,
spend it with local people.
Yes, people you go to church with, your kids go to school with.
Well, tell Matt Warren when you come out there, the guys on Eagle Hour, we're talking good about them. We really do appreciate their support of our show. And hope if you're in the market for their products or services, you'll remember they're big Southern Miss supporters. And they've been family-owned and operated since 1985. All right, Kelly, nobody more important than your Friday night dog, right?
He has been consistent. And really, this season, there haven't been many guys that have been as consistent as Graydon Harris.
And listen to how polite this kid is. Here's Graydon Harris.
Thank you very much for having me again. Mentally, physically, I feel great. I feel like every single start, I've been feeling better mentally and physically. Just got to work on that throughout the season, because that's probably the hardest part that a lot of people that don't even realize. You just got school, you got baseball. You don't have really a lot of time to do a lot of other things, and it's really important to physically keep up with your body and mentally. Throughout the season, I just think we've grown as a team, starting from day one to now. A lot of things are different, and a lot of things are different for the better. And I feel like we still have a lot to grow, even though there's a small portion left in the season, and I'm excited to see what we can do.
Graydon, how has your game changed and how have you improved since the day you got here to the Graydon Harris we see on the mound now?
I mean, a lot's different. High school, you go out there and it's a completely different ball game than here. When I got here, you got to learn how to mentally be on the mound rather than just physically there. In high school, a lot of people are physically better than a lot of other guys. In college, everybody's basically the same. You just got to go out there and want it more. It's basically the way I think about it. I go out there and every single pitch, I'm trying to tell myself I want this more than that hitter in the box. That's one of the big things. Physically, I've gotten 15 pounds on me since I've been here, so gained some good weight and moving down the mound a little bit better.
Confidence level different?
I wouldn't say. High school, I'm as confident as I am now. I've always been, I'd say, a confident person when I'm on the mound. I feel like that's big when pitching. If you don't have confidence, then I don't think you're going to be a great pitcher.
You have a ridiculous strikeout-to-walk ratio, 66 strikeouts, 12 walks. How focused are you when you're on the mound of throwing strikes and avoiding walks?
I feel like the walkout to strikes is it's not really been in my mind as much as you'd think. I feel like last year it kind of was just going out there and I'm just trying to throw the ball over the plate and hope good things happen. Because, I mean, I'm a freshman, don't really know much about these other guys. And now that I know, like, every lineup you're going to face is going to be a really good team. Mm-hmm. I just go out there and try to throw everything over the middle is really my thought process. I feel like that's where I've grown a lot this past year compared to last year. Keeping the walks down, making the strikeout numbers go up. And I feel like every single outing, if I focus on attacking every hitter, then that walk out, I mean, that those walks will go down.
Got a tremendous bullpen behind you. And now that Colby has moved back to the bullpen, it appears that Colby is going to be the go-to guy on Friday night, you know, when you reach your pitch count or if you come out of the game. That's got to be a pretty good feeling to have that guy backing you up.
Yes, indeed. I've only played with him. This is my second year, but he's really smart. And he's probably the most confident pitcher, I'd say, on the team. He's going out there and he just – he has a persona about him that's different than everybody, and you could see it. He doesn't necessarily have the best stuff on the team, but his mental state, I'd say, is the best on the team. He wants to go out there and destroy the other team, basically. But having him behind you is awesome. Like, last outing, got pulled after 6.1. You know, in my mind, I'm just like, I probably could have got 7, but you know the guy coming behind you is going to get the job done, and I'm excited that it's Colby.
I'm sure you are. At what point does a pitcher become fatigued? I mean, how many pitches do you think on an average night you could go grading before you start feeling any sense of fatigue?
I'm never going to tell Coach that I can't go back out there, but I don't know. It kind of just depends on how your week has been. If I had a bad week build up, I'd probably start saying I feel fatigue after 65, 70 pitches. If I have a good week and roll out to the start and I feel great, then – who knows, 120, 150, I don't know, whatever coach will let me go. I really try not to think about the fatigue part. Just go out there and give them all every pitch.
I'm guessing you guys never want to come out when he comes to that mound, or do you?
No. If he comes out, then it's time. But, yeah, I mean, I want to stay on the mound as long as I can, but Coach Oz is smarter than me.
I had a friend ask me the other night when Coach Oz comes out and talks to you guys, doesn't take you out, but talk to you. Kind of let our listeners know, what is the general tone of that kind of conversation, and what is the message that Coach is trying to get across to you?
Well, the funny thing, me and Cam Clark were talking about this the other day. I was like, what Coach Oz said to you when he went out to the mound? Like, not when he pulled you, but before that, he's like, I don't think I remember. And I was kind of – that's kind of how I am. I go out there, he comes to talk, and he's not going to pull me, and I'm just like, I'm listening, but it's kind of like I'm in a different kind of focus on the mound that when he pulls me and somebody asks me, I'm like, I'll be honest, I have no clue what he just told me.
That's pretty interesting right there. Is he aware of that?
I don't think he is, but it's not like I'm not listening to him. In the moment, I could tell you what he's saying, but ask me 15 minutes later, who knows?
All right, moving forward, you got any goals for yourself and your mindset as we go down this really important stretch?
Just kind of go deeper in the games. Save the bullpen. That's really big as a starter. If you can dig deeper in a game, it saves the bullpen throughout the whole series, and that gives your bats to get a chance in the dugout and start swinging it more, because that just means your pitch count's lower. So that's really it. Just go deeper in the games.
You know, you see a lot of kids here at ball games in their uniforms. You know, they all dream of doing what you're doing. Now that you're in year two, kind of describe to the degree you can the experience that you're having right now.
As in what? Like,
as being a Division I baseball player on a top 20 team and being the Friday night guy.
I mean, it's awesome. That's what you dream of as a kid. And you look in the stands, you see all those little kids out there. You know, their dream too. Just making those dreams come true is amazing. And trying to take it one day at a time and embrace it.
I had a sports reporter tell me today that he felt like this was a playoff regional atmosphere all weekend. This place was pretty crazy this weekend. How do you like stepping into that atmosphere on a Friday night?
You just got to embrace it. You got to embrace the crazy. If there's nobody here versus if there's 40,000 people here, I know that's not going to happen, but you just got to want it more, and you just got to love every minute of it.
I sometimes see you guys on the road and you're playing in front of these small crowds at other schools, and I know what you're used to playing in front of. From a pitcher's standpoint, does that affect you in any way, the atmosphere?
Not really. I mean, it's the same thing. You're going against a team in the other dugout, and you try to block out a lot of the crowd noise when you're on the mound. So in my mind, it's the same game I've been playing my whole life, and it doesn't matter how many people are in the stands, I'm going to give it my all.
When you were at Louisiana the other night, you're a Louisiana guy. Was that any different for you, or was that just another ballgame?
It wasn't different. It was another ballgame in my eyes, but it's I think it's always fun going against guys you've played against growing up. Their starting pitcher that night I played against growing up, and a few bats in that lineup I played with growing up. So it's always fun playing against guys you've played against.
Any regrets becoming a Golden Eagle?
None. Not since I've been here.
Well, I want you to know how happy everybody is for you. We're really happy to see you making so much progress, being our Friday night guy. And, man, best of luck to you the rest of the year.
Thank you, and thank you very much for having me.
Well, that's Graydon Harris, everybody, as polite as they come. And, Kelly, he's proven to be a really rock-solid Friday night guy. And that kind of is the cornerstone of your weekend rotation, right?
He sounded like he's got a little Elvis in him there. So thank you. Thank you for having me on.
He thanked me twice. And the start and the conclusion.
One of the things that jumped out to me in one of the first questions you asked him is, you know, about time management. He says, well, yeah, you know, you got school, you got baseball, and I know what he was going to say, but chose
not
to.
A little bit of party life there you got to have now.
Or, I mean, school, baseball, and smoking hot babes.
They don't hurt for that. Let me assure you of that.
Baseball players are notorious, aren't they?
Yeah, baseball players are players.
Yes.
Is that right? Graydon Harris, everybody.
More ways than one.
We're going to be talking to Ben Higdon on tomorrow's show. Kelly's going out to softball practice this afternoon. Want to hear more from them kids, man. We've talked a lot about it, but we're all really proud of the way they're doing this year.
They're tied for third place, and they can do a lot of their own dirty work this weekend because South Al comes here, and they're tied for third place with South Al, so they can do a lot of their own work. We're going to get to talk to some of those young ladies today.
Mobe Vignette Company, 2902 Hardy Street. That's where you go for great desserts made to order when you come in the store. Be sure to ask for Morgan. Tell her buddies on the Eagle Hour said hello, and sit down and enjoy some delicious Mobe Beignets. We'll be right back.
Thank you very much.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, when the Golden Eagles take on Monroe, Louisiana, here in a couple of weeks, MCS Home Center will be there, and they have got 2,000 T-shirts they're going to give away. We understand that the man himself, Scott Berry, is going to be giving some away, so make sure you're there early. Be one of the first 2,000 people in the stadium when the Eagles play Monroe. And get yourself an MCS Home Center T-shirt, which says on the back, MCS Home Center bleeds black and gold. We think you're really going to like it. Excuse me. Kelly, I got a bulletin for you.
Okay, go.
I got a call today from a mutual friend of ours, and I'll keep his name quiet. I don't know for sure if he'd want me to say this, but he wanted me to report that after years and years and years of waiting, and ironically, just 3 weeks before the end of the baseball season, they are blocking off the parking around Reed Green Coliseum. And listen to me, Kelly. According to my source this morning, moving dirt.
Where's okay? Quick, cue up the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Have we got got the Hallelujah chorus? Preach, sister. Hallelujah. Preach. Hallelujah. Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. And I'm glad that they've done it, but I'm going to ask you one logical question. Maybe you can answer this. My friend didn't know this either. It's been all this time. You know, we've waited and waited and waited.
Yes.
Could we have waited 2 more weeks till baseball season is over?
Of course.
So people will have a place to park?
To answer your question directly, yes, you could. But then if the administration at Southern Miss is listening to this going, typical Southern Miss fan, you whine and complain.
I know, we haven't gotten any dirt moved. I'm glad they've started working.
Yeah, so then we got some dirt moved. Now you're complaining that there's no place to park.
No, I'm kidding. But I'm glad to see that it's happening, and that's good for everybody, and that's good for our friend Jay Ladner. It's been long overdue.
But it is a point that needs to be brought up. You know, it looks like the Eagles, if they take care of business, should be in a reasonable place to host a regional. Those are more parking spaces now that are gonna go away.
150.
Yeah. So you're gonna have to start accommodating now. Okay, then where do you go? You can't just snap parking spaces out of the air.
Right.
And I'm sure they will accommodate some of the people who paid for those parking spaces to park.
I think during the baseball season. I think they've already sent out some information on where those folks can go park, and I think they're reserving some other parking spots as close to the stadium as possible, because you're right, those people pay, and they're not gonna take your money and then not give you a place to park. We're kind of having fun with it, but they'll take care of those people, and we are glad that that the construction has started. But sometimes you do find yourself thinking, it's been 3 years, man. Could we wait 2 more weeks and let our baseball fans have a place to park?
But again,
we're glad to see it.
Yeah, if you are tuning in late, there is movement. There is dirt being moved at Reed Green Coliseum. What we should do is get the one of the choirs at Southern Miss and record them live.
If they let us back on the campus again.
By the way, Dr. Lewis, the retired retired president at Pearl River Community College, Pearl River swept East Central to claim another MACCC baseball championship, but he's a faithful listener of this program, and he said that he gets a real kick out of the show. Good. And I'm glad to see, Bob, that I've got a lot of the general public on my side. He goes, why do you subject yourself to the abuse?
He loves it. He loves it.
I said, well, Bob's got photographs, compromising Good. Photographs.
I do.
He goes, but what about Dima? Why do you put up with that? The
photographs
guy?
Are shocking, too.
That's
shocking.
Okay, look, we don't need to go into it, but I'll do a trust
you
me.
You know, I had somebody come up and talk to me about you the other night, and Kelly, they always ask me a question that I always have to give them the same answer about you, and the answer was, well, I've never heard of him doing that before.
What?
Yeah, they bring things to my attention. The only thing, I've never heard of him doing that before.
I thought you knew everything about me, which is why I will do exactly what you tell me to do.
All right, Kelly, the draft is coming up tonight. Are there going to be some Sunbelt kids drafted?
Yeah, actually, I think there's some guys. I don't, because tonight, the way the draft works, and of course it's being staged live in Pittsburgh, all the major networks, including ESPN, are going to be there with their analysis. You're going to get analysis paralysis tonight, I'm sure. But just the first round will be televised tonight. Then tomorrow night, as the NFL tries to milk more and more money out of people, rounds 2 and 3.
There you go, more money.
Yeah, because if you get a ticket, like if you're a fan and you get a ticket for tonight to go to the draft, it's not good for tomorrow. It's just good for today.
And there'll be 50,000 people there. Right?
Both, all 3 days, yeah. You know. So tonight's round one. Tomorrow, rounds 2 and 3, and then 4, 5, 6, and 7 on Saturday. Some of the Sun Belt guys that we should be looking for, maybe not tonight as just the first round, but some players that are could very well go in this draft before it's all over with. Let's start with Ted Hurst, the wide receiver from Georgia State. And I really hope, for the sake of that program, that he gets taken, because mm-hmm. poor Georgia State, you know, you've talked to a lot of the Sun Belt broadcasters and administrators, and Georgia State just kind of seems to be the one everybody likes to pick on, right? But he is a fantastic wide receiver, and he could go a high first round pick tonight, most likely a second or third, and because he put up a low
first round pick.
Yes, yep. Late first round, because he put up a 4.42 40-yard dash time, mm-hmm. And speed. There's no substitute mm-hmm. for speed. So try to remember Ted Hurst of Georgia State. Now, according to our sources at the Sun Belt, the number two guy that they think is our own Josh Moten mm-hmm. from Southern Miss, the cornerback, and they've got him going in potentially the third round. That's the good news. The bad news is, Bob, they think he's going to wind up as a Washington Commander.
Now, why would you want to do that to that kid?
Well, because if he gets taken in the second or third round, there'll be about 2 million or 3 million reasons why.
Yeah, I could probably even become a fan for $2 or $3 million.
Yes.
Probably.
If not Washington, then perhaps Seattle or Miami is where he might wind up. The third guy to keep an eye on is the Louisiana Raging Cajuns linebacker, Jaden Duggar. Now, Duggar, what makes him so special is that in 2 years that he's played in Louisiana, he has racked up 155 tackles. 155 solo tackles in 2 years as a linebacker at Louisiana. The NFL scouting combine has him ranked. There's 897. You think your odds of playing in the NFL are good? 897 linebackers. And he's ranked 99th. So that's pretty doggone good, right, when you're in that high percentage. And with that, with the motor that he's got and the durability, Jaden Duggar of Louisiana looks like he's going to get to go. And then kind of a fringe player, but nonetheless he'd love to go, is the punter Evan Crenshaw at Troy. He set all kinds of punting records at Troy. The question always is in the NFL, do you want to – some people think that drafting a punter – now, Luke Johnson's not listening, is he?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, because some teams think that drafting a punter is a waste of a pick.
Yeah, because they're not really players.
Gosh, I hope Luke Johnson's not listening. I really hope he's not listening, Bob. But, Evan Crenshaw of Troy. And, of course, all the Sun Belt guys, we hope that they get taken, because not only – for them and their families, but to bring a little publicity to the conference. We'll find out. No. We'll know when it all shakes out.
So we do think Moten is going to get drafted. Give it a chance.
Everything we hear that he's not going to go tonight, most likely, but mm-hmm. most likely will go in the draft. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, Southern Miss, for the size of school that it has, it's put out a lot of NFL players.
You know, what are the odds of a Division I player making it in the NFL? It's slim, isn't it? It's like less than 5%. Am I right about that?
I would think maybe 1%. Yeah. I mean, when you look at 897 linebackers, there's only 22 guys that start on offense and defense. I know it's the dream of every kid, and I've been coaching youth baseball for all these years. Oh, my kid's going to play in the big leagues. No, they're not.
They're
not. So the $8 million that you're spending on all these camps, put it in a mutual fund, and then your kid can go to whatever school they want to go to.
Correct. You got to be big, strong, and very elite.
And lucky.
To play in the National Football League.
And lucky.
Yes,
I mean, you got to have things fall your way. Yeah.
I think I told you my grandson ran into the quarterback for the Colts. Is it Doug Jones? Is that right?
No, Danny Dimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The quarterback.
Right.
And he looked at me, he said, "Papa, he was a giant. He was a giant standing there. He's quarterback."
Yeah, so you can imagine. Well, even Tyrone Nix. I mean, he's not even playing anymore. Yeah. But
I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but Tyrone challenged me to some arm wrestling, and it was embarrassing, Kelly. I didn't want to embarrass the man in front of everybody, but he just kept on.
It's a good thing this isn't television, because people would see the brace on your arm and your elbow there.
Actually, they'd see my arms and then see the picture of Tyrone Nix and just say, "Shut up."
Popped out of socket, didn't it? So.
Golly, Tyrone Nix, can you imagine being tackled by that man?
No, and every year they get bigger, faster, and stronger.
Yes, how much bigger can you be?
Well, they don't get any bigger than Dima Mixon.
Oh, no. Who is not with us today, by the way. But we'll be back tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. So can you and I kill the last segment?
I think we can. Plenty more to talk about.
As we head to the break, don't forget our wonderful friends at Forest Health. Get an annual physical. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. And when you run into trouble, you've got a great, great ally, and that's Forest Health. They can help you with expert medical care right here at home. ForestHealth.org. We'll be right back.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Eagle Hour, Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. If you got some gold or silver at home and you want to get top dollar for it, Marty Vick at Jewel Masters, that's the only person you really need to talk to. He's been doing that longer than anybody. That is Marty's specialty. That and building beautiful jewelry. But if you've got gold and silver, old coins, maybe some old jewelry that you don't even use anymore, take it down to Jewel Masters on Highway 98 West, and Marty will analyze it for you and really give you an honest and good, fair price. And if you're lucky, you'll get to see Cindy while you're there.
And let me tell you,
having trouble with your microphone. Are you see today, Kelly?
That guy is so generous. You know, Bob, that he actually pays me to leave his store?
Yes. Well, he's not the only one. I've actually been with you in a couple of stores where people offered cash for you to leave.
Hey, you know, like I said.
Yeah. We'll and Marty's food. A golden eagle. I was looking at him the other night. I think that was his son that was with him. And they were right behind home plate taking in Southern Miss baseball. And you can see Marty eating peanuts and having a good time. And so, again, Kelly, here's another locally owned business that's been here forever. They are your neighbors. They support your Little League baseball team. They do all the things in the community that make the community what it is. And so if you've got the need to sell some gold or some silver, make sure you go down and talk to those good folks at Jewel Masters.
And some of the money that they make, they're going to give to the university.
That's right. And Kelly, if I was going to cater an event like maybe the next home football game, would Dickie's Barbecue come to mind?
Well, not even necessarily the next home baseball game. How about the NFL draft tonight, Bob?
That would be a good idea.
Yeah, you got the guys coming over to have a few beers and have a spread out. Dickie's Barbecue could do that for you.
And they make good brisket sandwiches and just good side. They make that potato casserole side. Mm.
And the cream spinach is always my favorite.
We do like to eat, don't we, Kelly?
The cream spinach in the soft serve ice cream is not a big hit, but you know you can get those separately.
Tell me you're kidding.
And it might be a little bit late today. But if you went to them and said, "Hey, I'm having the guys over for a draft," and they'd probably do what they could to make sure you were taken care of.
Hey, if you don't catch the show at 1 o'clock every day, we sure hope you do on the podcast. You'll find it everywhere: Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. They all play it. You had any luck? I haven't asked you in a while. Have you had any luck with Alexa or Siri?
I've given up.
Oh, you just quit. Yeah, okay.
Because as many times as I'm told no by any mechanical women, don't even say yes to
That's
me.
That's pretty sad. That really is. That's pretty damn sad. You can't even get a mechanical woman to talk to you.
No. There are some that are plastic. That's a whole different story.
If you bought her a new Genesis from Genesis of Hattiesburg, that might change things.
No, I think it definitely would.
Yes. Kevin Mullins would be glad to sell you one. Mr. Grubbs would be glad to sell you one. And where would you buy one, Kelly?
I would go to their new showroom on Highway 98 West. It is a state-of-the-art facility. And did you know that this Genesis showroom is exclusive to Mississippi?
That means it's the only one in Mississippi.
Well, thank you, Mr. Webster.
I went to USA. I have a journalism degree. Thank you.
Dr. Webster there with the correct definition. Well, not so good news for the women's golf team, Bob. Their reign as Sun Belt Conference champions is over. They wound up finishing seventh in the field of 14 teams down in the coast of Mobile. And Louisiana Monroe walks away with the championship this year. And good for Monroe because they stink in just about everything else. So
now there's an endorsement.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, they won. And the Louisiana Monroe softball team is one of the teams that Southern Miss is chasing. The softball team at Southern Miss taking on South Al this weekend in a Friday, Saturday, Sunday series. South Al and Southern Miss are both 11-7 in the conference. They're tied for third with Texas State. Now, Texas State has the tiebreaker with Southern Miss right now, but there's only two teams ahead of those three, and that's Louisiana Monroe and Marshall. They still have to play ULM. So the Eagles can do their own dirty work here. And lots of times coaches will say, I just want the upper. I don't want anybody else to have to win or lose. We want to be able to do this for ourselves. So if you haven't gotten to see this team play, you really should, because they're having a fine season. And they're going to, their nose is going to be the grindstone this weekend, because this is a big series with South Al coming up as far as seeding for the softball tournament, postseason tournament goes. And unlike baseball, where baseball has like, what, 3 weekends left after this one, they've only got the one. So it's home.
It's all over for the summer, just about.
Right. Most of the sports now are going to be over after softball and baseball.
Hey, let me plug this. I released a new podcast today on Legends, and it's a great conversation with Hill Denson, and we have a lot of fun with Hill, Kelly. But really, man, I mean, Hill is right up there when you look at the Mount Rushmore of college baseball. Hill's on that mountain. I mean, his background is really very, very astonishing.
As good as a baseball coach as he was, he probably would have been an excellent athletic director, because his ability to raise money. When they moved the baseball field from what is now the practice football field over to where Pete Taylor Park is now, I mean, it was a shell of a field. But he went out and rolled up his sleeves and talked to business owners and talked about how...
Is this fair to say he truly was a visionary in his day?
And you have to be, in order to kind of be an AD. You have to anticipate problems so that they don't become problems down the road.
Well, you can find it on Apple Podcast or Spotify. I'd appreciate it if you do. Hill Denson this week. Next week... Well, I'll wait. There's another good one next week.
This afternoon, I am going to get to interview some of the softball players. I'm going to talk to Cross Sively's wife, and I'm going to ask her, when you want to get under your husband's skin.
Well, I'd like to know the answer to that.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to ask her, what button do you push?
And you know, when the season's over, we got to get both of those youngsters out here at the same time. I think that would be a lot of fun.
It would be.
I can't wait to hear what activates Cross Sively?
What gets under his skin?
You don't have any idea, do you?
I don't know.
Well, this will be a really informative interview. We'll try to get that on the air tomorrow.
Cool.
We'll be back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thank you for listening, everybody. Southern Miss.
To the top.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.